You have some copies, these photocopies. I'm going to start with this. So you have this quote here. This is from the Internationale Situationniste, from number 9, from August 64. The publication, Internationale Situationniste. Question: is the ES an artistic movement? Answer: a major part of the situationist critique of consumer society consists in showing to what extent contemporary artists, insofar as they have turned away from the wealth of breakthroughs present in, if not fully developed during, the period 1910 to 1925, mostly relegated themselves to doing art like one does business. It took me years to understand really what they were saying here. In this quote, the Internationale Situationniste clearly defines contemporary artists as an important target for critique, if one is to politically confront a consumerist, capitalist society. Over the last 3 decades, we have had a triumphant return of art commodities, traditional media, and gallery fairs, all these art fairs. Triumphant means the protagonists of this tendency have wrestled control of how art is defined in the public sphere. Their artists are placed in publicly financed art spaces, teaching jobs. With the advent of magazines like Purple Prose or the German Monopole, or spaces like the Palais de Tokyo, art has become like the apex, the top of the lifestyle products pyramid. Art is an upscale fusion of fashion, quietist theory, so quietist is the opposite of the activist, and entertainment. A hot house for the latest jeunesse dorée and its benevolent patrons. But it would be a mistake to view art's exclusiveness and inaccessibility as a sign of its minor role or irrelevance within the broader neoliberal onslaught. The situationists were and still are right in this quote that I gave you, right with regard to their choice of targets. In the influential and far-sighted 1972 study, Public Sphere and Experience, Oskar Necht and Alexander Kluger warn of commodities that, quote, do not merely function as objects of consumption, but indicate a worldview as well, unquote. They are, quote, sensual, suprasensual things, fantasy products, unquote, that function together in a nexus or networks. The objects function in networks. It's easy to see how gallery art fits this description. Without actually being purchased, it syncretistically mixes education and entertainment in a way that promotes certain experiences and blocks others. That's the terminology of Kluger and Necht. They talk about blocked experiences. The title of this event is Art Market Art in a Dead End. And the triumph I mentioned a few seconds ago has had a bellwether effect. A bellwether attracts lightning. A growing body of work has debunked the pretensions of art market art. And Target Atanapop is preparing a conference in conjunction with the Biennale de Paris and in conjunction with Alan Fu, to bring critics and practitioners together for this process of debunking. In Hamburg, Michael Lingner has written a widely published essay about the Artist Pension Trust. We have the art historian Julian Stalabras, who has written two very exhaustive critiques of production within the so-called Young British Artist Movement. Jean-Claude Moineau has published a book entitled Contre l'Art Global. And at Target of Pound and Pop, we have tried to develop some of our own analytical tools. So I will try to whip through these. So there are two of them. There's the idea of an iconoclastic taxonomical system. And to do this, I went to art exhibitions for many, many years and collected all kinds of material, made photos, also read the discourse that was used in the catalog, and I started to organize them into my own categories. And this category is called neutralization and co-optation. Neutralisation et co-optation. And this category was particularly inspired by the exhibition at the Palais de Tokyo called Hardcore. It's the catalog. A little bit out of focus of Hardcore. This is a view of some of the other categories. I mean, they're presented in this way, in a way that fills a room, but they can be presented in other ways too. The idea is to have the idea of the category that people simply remember this and go to see exhibitions and start seeing things a little differently. So some of the names are infantilization, 60s forever. We had colorful conceptualism, fashion, circles and curves. And so you can walk into this, and this is the section, 60s forever, with John Armleiter and Tobias Rebega. Here's circles and curves with Rondinone and Armleiter. This is the border between infantilization and colorful conceptualism. This is another presentation in a flat way with new themes that were also partially developed in cooperation with some of the people who I spoke to. Jean-Baptiste Farkas was in the room, also developed a very interesting project where people were asked to invent their own categories and fill out forms during an exhibition and submit these new categories. So this is a category, the long march towards quality, the new vassalism, and wow. Okay, another, this is like one of the last things I'm going to mention. Another activity is like unauthorized tours. So I mean, this is really picking up with what Lucy was mentioning earlier, some of the activities that were done by the Art Workers Coalition, or an activity that Lucy did going to the Whitney and conducting interviews. I went to a commercial gallery with Guy Prophet in Berlin, and we forced the gallerists to make statements about what was going on in this Michael Kreber exhibition. And we filmed it and recorded it and made a video out of this. The gallery refused to have a press release because they wanted to maintain the mystery of the artwork. So we forced them to make a statement. This is in Malmo at the Social Forum. This was actually at the Malmo Museum. This is the first time that within, as far as I know, that within the Social Forum process, there was an event that doesn't add value to a museum, but actually delegitimates a museum's exhibition policy. They were featuring the Moras Greco Art Foundation, just as a showcase, basically, adding value to his collectors, to the things he had amassed. A Okay, this is in Canada. We don't have time for this. This was in Paris. We had a workshop as well. This is going through the east of Paris. This was a horrible exhibition at the Palais de Tokyo called Our History, which I think in a completely, also Jean-Baptiste pointed this out to me, in a completely megalomaniac way, tried to ordain what future history will be like based on the view of curators. So they already know ahead of time what is going to be the history of 20th century art. And this was pretty absurd. This was like they had a line to prevent people from the description sort of is full of all this myth of the work being fragile. And yeah, these are the guided tours. So this is the sort of work of cliches of femininity. And one of the people in our workshop decided to take off his underwear and to leave it on the other side of the line because his underwear is fragile too, or protecting fragile parts of his anatomy. And there was a tour that I really enjoyed. These are students, schoolgirls, who really had a lot of fun with this intervention. And they ignored the rest of the exhibition. Okay, that's it. So, one more sentence. Considering the Gini income disparity index in France is one of the highest in Europe, the Gini measures the difference between the rich and the poor, and the huge fortunes on display in Paris, I'm not so sure of our advocacy of a break with gallery collector patronage is inspirational for you or dispiriting. Perhaps we can discuss this and other issues now as I open the floor to discussion. Thank you.